An electronic tolling slash strategic planning committee meets. Call the roll, please.
Director Banks?
Here.
Director Darcy? Director Dotson?
Here.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Director Sweeney?
Here.
Co-chair Director Reddick?
Here.
Co-chair Wisner?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much, and again, I welcome you.
Excuse me, I didn't call Director Dotson, I apologize.
You did.
We did.
You did.
Okay.
You're still here, right? So I want to welcome you to this meeting of our newly merged committees, the Customer Service Committee, Strategic Planning Committee, and our never-ending effort to streamline operations here at the Toll Authority. We combine those committees. I'm sure that the whole proved to be greater than the sum of the parts. However, we still have some streamlining to do, and that would have to do with the name of the committee. So hopefully we can work on that between now and the next meeting. We have public comment on the agenda at this point. There's been a request to move that until after the presentations relative to the Illinois 53-120 project. If that doesn't meet with the needs or desires of anyone else in the room, let me know. We can bifurcate that effort, but if that's not a problem, we'll wait until after that presentation. Okay? Thank you. Next order of business will be approval of the minutes of Customer Service Committee meeting held on January 16, 2014, and the minutes of the regular meeting executive session held on March 20, 2014. Any desire to amend or change?
Move for approval as submitted.
Okay. We have a motion to approve. Second?
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion's carried. The minutes are approved. At this point, I would turn this over to our executive director, Christy LaFleur.
Thank you. Before we get into the bulk of today's meeting, I just wanted to point out for those of you who hadn't noticed that one of our co-chairs, Chair Wisner, is sporting a little bit of a different look. And I believe that that's because you participated. It's called Shave for the Students, correct? Which was a charitable event to help some young people in your community offset costs related to kind of long-term health care issues and transportation costs. So I had a whole bunch of information prepared of a phone number you could call if you wanted to donate and all of it, and I don't have it in front of me, so I apologize. So if you'd like to say something or if anybody would like to write about it to encourage people to give to this very important cause, but I wanted to point that out. And your head is not misshapen at all, as it turns out. Those things are exposed when the heads are shaved.
Yes.
So that's
I disappointed my phrenologist.
that's a wonderful cause. Otherwise, I don't think I have any other comments. I would introduce, I guess, the 53-120 presentation. I know we have some special guests here, the co-chairs of the Finance Committee, who are going to be, I think, giving the second part of the presentation. There they are. Okay, I was looking for you on the other side. We have Doug Whitley, who's head of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, I believe still head for at least the next couple of weeks or so. And then Chris Meister, who is the executive director of the Illinois Finance Authority. They've done a remarkable job leading these efforts and volunteering their time to help us get to some resolution on the 53-120 project. So we've kind of got a midpoint report coming from that committee, but we're going to start with a framing discussion on the 53-120 project just to get a level set here of all the committee members. Since this is the first joint committee meeting, I know that the Strategic Planning Committee has heard about this project multiple times, and we just want to make sure everybody kind of has the same amount of information. So it's a good midpoint, I think, check, and we're hoping that the board can provide some feedback that then can be taken to back to the Finance Committee as they continue to do their work in the coming months and throughout the rest of the year. So Amy Lee from Planning is going to be, I think, giving the first part of the presentation. Is that right?
That's right.
So if you'd like to go up and get us started, and then we'll turn it over to Doug and Chris to speak specifically about the committee's work. And I think we would encourage everyone to feel free to interrupt with any questions, and we'll just have kind of more informal discussion as we always do here, so that we can get the feedback that we need. So, Amy?
Great. Thank you. So, good morning. What I'll do is briefly provide some technical updates on what's come out of the Illinois 53-120 feasibility analysis, and that will sort of help set the stage for what's the task for the project planning committee before handing it over to Chris and Doug. So, what's entailed, I'll provide you an overview of the new project cost estimate, a little bit on the roadway performance based on some new travel demand forecasting efforts, and size up for you what the funding gap is as of our current understanding. So, in a nutshell, the new estimate for project cost is in a range of $2.56 billion to $2.87 billion. This is expressed in year 2020 dollars and represents an all-in cost as it relates to the RAC recommendation. This is really taking a clean slate approach, building from bottom up based on actual quantities. So, as you can see, the new estimate remains quite close to what was earlier estimated through the BRAC analysis. In the chair, we show two images of the new roadway, the left showing levels of congestion in 2040 during the AM peak, the right showing levels of congestion during the PM peak. Green indicates uncongested conditions, yellow nearing congestion, and then red congested conditions. And as you'll note, congestion is very directional on this roadway, as more than half of the travel during the peak period is work commute related. And you'll see that a lot of the congestion is in the AM peak in the southbound direction on the south leg, and then in the eastbound direction on the eastern leg approaching 94. In the PM, the congestion is predominantly in the same areas, but in the opposite direction. The takeaway here is the demand is definitely there, even as contemplated as a tolled four-lane, 45-mile-per-hour facility. This image here sort of depicts the impact that the new roadway has on the local arterial network. The blue segments indicate segments where there is a notable reduction in traffic volumes from today. And then orange depicts where there is an increase in traffic volumes over today. And the takeaway here really is you can see the roadway presents some really congestion relief benefits to Lake County. And where you see the orange occurring is largely in localized areas related to people who are now wanting to have access to the new roadway. Travel demand forecast analysis also indicates that for certain origin and destination pairs, travelers can achieve as much as 30% decrease in travel time, which, as you know, is quite significant when you're talking about your work commute. So on the whole here, from a mobility standpoint, the benefits are definitely there. So with some preliminary look at the traffic forecasts and the revenue forecasts, we're estimating that the roadway is expected to generate approximately 0.25 to 0.33 billion in bonding capacity. As you can see, this leaves still quite a significant funding gap for the project. And so this really segues quite nicely into where we're at with the Finance Committee. And I'll now invite Chris and Doug to come and provide you an update on that discussion.
Thanks, Amy. My name is Chris Meister, and along with my co-chair, Doug Whitley, we're happy to be of service to the Tollway Board. We're here to provide a midterm report. You have a written version of this, but Doug and I had a discussion in advance. We thought that it's probably more beneficial that we provide more of an overview and and provide you with the with our observations of the progress to date. I also want to recognize somebody that's been really a key partner and a key leader in this process, and that's Aaron Lawler, all the way in the back, County Executive of Lake County. I think Aaron's presence here today ought to show the board that that Lake County, from its top leadership at the county level, here the County Executive, along with a large number of mayors and village presidents and local leaders, it really speaks to the high level of commitment. I'm going to go over 5 points here very quickly, and then I'm going to Doug is going to try and engage with all of you to really make sure that we have a firm understanding of your priorities and concerns and any recommendations the board should have. First, at this point in the process, and it's only a halftime report, is Doug and I are not comfortable recommending to the board to move forward at this point. Now, we will say that we are further along in the timeline than we had expected, and I think some of the slides that Amy had had presented really sort of speak to the reason why we are not comfortable with moving forward at this point, and it really boils down to the funding gap. Now, the fact that we are further along than we expect also speaks to the positives here, and I think should give the board some comfort as you take this question under consideration in the coming months. The second point is, and again, Chairman Lawler's presence here I think should give you reassurance, is the local participation in our meetings, the local engagement, the level of decision maker at these meetings, the attendance, should provide confidence to the board that this is something that the community in Lake County in a whole, and specifically the communities that are going to benefit Central Lake County, really it really speaks to their desire for this project to move forward. This is, of course, a project that has been under discussion for decades, and as Doug and I were discussing prior to this meeting, the only project comparable for the tollway in recent memory is the 355 extension. So the maps that we've provided to you really do not quite do justice to the expansion of the tollway service area that this project would provide, the enlargement of the service area. But an important message, and it was a message brought by the day-to-day or the meeting-to-meeting participation, is, and it was voiced by various members, we want this project, we want it to go forward, and we want it to go forward sooner than later. So that's the second point, and I think that's very positive. The third point, and this is a compliment to the Tollway Board and its staff leadership from Executive Director LaFleur on down, is recognizing that an infrastructure project of this magnitude and this expansion of the tollway service area is really unique and probably unique for this tollway board. This is much larger and of much greater significance than simply adding an interchange. And the tollway board and its staff leadership really should be complimented, because there's been a tremendous staff investment and an investment of outside consultants in what has been needed to bring us to this point. And it's not only the commitment that was done on the initial BRAC report, but it is also the staff commitment that Doug and I have benefited from, as well as all of the volunteer members of the Finance Committee and the Land Use Committee, which is going on simultaneously with CMAP. It's a tremendous investment, and Doug and I recognize that this is over and above the normal sorts of community engagement and community commitment that a very large infrastructure, transportation infrastructure project would require. And that's a compliment to the commitment, or it's a recognition of the commitment of the Tollway Board to this project. Fourth, and this has been a very significant lesson to Doug and I, although Doug has been doing this a while longer than I have, it really speaks to the need in our state to have a predictable program of capital investment, maintenance, and infrastructure. Without a capital bill or without predictable capital funding for transportation infrastructure in this state, it is very difficult for Doug and I either to engage with you or to engage with the Lake County leadership and the local community leadership when we're really at a point where we say there's a very large gap here, and it is very unlikely that there is going to be significant federal federal assistance in any way. And it is truly a state project as well as a tollway project, because as you can see from this slide, there are many state roads that are going to have direct reduction in congestion. And in addition, one of the other great benefits of this proposed project is going to be moving people from more lower and moderately priced housing, working people, to job centers in northeastern Illinois, and that's going to be a very significant benefit. Some of the estimated commute reductions are in the order of 20 and 30 minutes per trip, and that's a very significant public policy benefit for our state. However, it is very difficult to be discussing a state contribution when we had a capital bill several years ago and it was the first one in a decade, and now we stand before you, and Doug will be more articulate than I am, but could happen next week, or it could happen next year, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. And for the members of the Tollway Board to make a decision on something that is that unpredictable is very, very difficult. The final point, the fifth point, and it is because of the magnitude of the expansion of the service area and the magnitude of this funding gap, the question to the Lake County leadership and the local community leadership is really centered around what is the appropriate level of self-help and what form does that take? And really, we really need to focus on it, because this is a costly project, and it is a costly project that, based on the BRAC report, is consistent with the values and priority of Lake County and the communities along the roadway. But there is obviously a price for those values that is built into the gap. And one very interesting observation that I've had about Lake County leadership and the leadership of these communities is this is a part of our state that has a very firm grasp on its vision for itself, its quality of life, and its priorities. And they've gone beyond that, not just reaching that vision, but in community after community and at the county level, they have come together and figured out ways how to reach those visions, how to implement them, and how to pay for them. The discussions that we've had really take into account some of the very real concerns that Lake County as a border area has. They border Wisconsin, which is a perceived lower cost of development in doing business state, and there was a great level of reluctance to go too far down a road that would lead to additional levels of fees that would support revenue that might make development along the corridor and in northern Lake County not economically feasible. So we need to really take that into account. At the same time, Doug and I were gratified to know that particularly at the last meeting, there was a very open discussion about more innovative ways that I think are worthy of consideration by the Tollway Board, congestion pricing, larger system contributions that may be linked with things like a cost of living related increase to tolls, and ideas along these lines. They of course need to be filled out. Doug and I have the opportunity to fill them out in the coming months, and then I will turn it over to Doug.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, members of the Tollway Authority Board. I would point out that the five observations that Chris just made for you are independent of the five that are on your sheet. We presume that you could read that information for yourself. We consider our role as to be leaders and facilitators of the Finance Committee. We've gone to great lengths to try to first educate and bring people along as to the issues. We are here in part to report back to you what we believe we have seen and experienced with this exercise that has now been going on for several months, and generally feel very positive about our devoting our time to this. At the same time, we've also tried to be more forceful towards the members of the Finance Committee as to what's really involved. Chris made the point, and I've made the point now on more than one occasion in Lake County, this will not be built if we don't get a new state capital bill. In order for this project to go, in my assessment, the state of Illinois is going to have to devote $400 or $500 million to this project. And as of right now, we don't have that kind of money. So without a capital bill, I think this stays on people's dream list. Likewise, we've been very aggressive about trying to get the members of the Finance Committee to be realistic about how this does, in fact, get paid for. I think Chris and I meet pretty regularly and talk pretty well, and we've been doing, good service for all, and we're very grateful for the relationship that we've had with the Tollway staff. But the reality is what we want to keep pushing on the members of the Finance Committee. The good news is, after about three meetings, the members of the committee began to show their own anxiety about getting to the financing side of it. And so the last two meetings have both been very helpful. And what we tried to do was press upon them, okay, of all the possible revenue sources, how many dollars do you think you can get from each one? And what percentage of the overall package do you think is appropriate for each one? And in the last meeting, we really tried to push the reality button on them that there's not going to be a federal Santa Claus to come in and bail this program out. We also try to emphasize, again, the need for a state capital program, and we've made a great effort to press the point that local contribution is going to be critical. So there's some questions that we would like to engage you with, not only about the five points that Chris just offered, but also the ones that are at the bottom of the memo that you received. We do not have, at this point, a clear focus on what the individual financing components can be, and I think that will come out in these next few meetings. In fact, I look for each meeting to be a little more contentious and a little rougher as we begin to force people into the reality of what $2.5 billion really looks like. But I think that they're still open to that. The issue, and I think you all understand this, is we're building a brand new road that's going to be around for 100 years, and people are being asked to start paying for it now. And no one wants to pay. And that's where we've got to push them to a point of accepting collective responsibility for it, or another 40 years of wishing for a road in the middle of Lake County that they have aspired to. The good news is I think they all are of common mind that they wish to have this accomplished, and it's our task to try to get them to a financing side. So I think that's where we are. So maybe I should stop and ask if you've got any immediate questions for Chris and I, and then I'd like to press on to those questions that we did ask specifically for perhaps some guidance. Thank you.
I appreciate the presentation. I don't know if this might, before we launch into Q&A here or whatever, perhaps this would be the moment to allow for public comment. Would that be a reasonable time to include that? Take care of that? Sure. We could do that. We have Mr. Rob Sherman from Buffalo Grove wishing to address the group here. And as always, we'd ask you to be as concise as possible.
Thank you, Mayor, Ms. Wolf, Ms. LaFleur, members of the committee. It would be helpful if you could bring up the slide that said background, had the word background over there. Two specific points that I wish to make today. One pertains to stakeholders, and the other pertains to cross-jurisdictional taxation. Looking for the slide that says background up there. The premise here is that everybody on the committee here, everybody in the BRAC, everybody in the Tollway Board and Administration, they're all good people. But the Tollway has made a huge mistake that is going to destroy this project. It's not too late to fix that mistake. The huge mistake pertains to the stakeholders that were on the BRAC. As the middle bullet point indicates, the stakeholders that are on the BRAC are Lake County mayors, Lake County officials, and other stakeholders. I see four groups of stakeholders. One is the Lake County officials. Two is what's referred to as the other stakeholders, land planners, road construction people, and environmentalists. But there are two sets of stakeholders that were excluded from this process that need to be included. One is the people that are going to pay for this roadway. My friend Jeff Brayman, the president of my hometown of Buffalo Grove, says that this should be a regional roadway. He's correct. He says it should be paid for regionally. He's correct on that too. But the problem is that the people who are going to pay for it were not included in the BRAC. So you have a lot of proposals in the Blue Ribbon Report that are in the interest of the people of Lake County, but they're not in the interest of the people who are going to pay for it. Similarly, that's the third group of stakeholders, people who are going to pay for it. The fourth group of stakeholders, the people who are going to use the roadway. In order for this roadway to be successful, you need to maximize the amount of traffic by having a 70-mile-an-hour roadway, and you need to minimize costs, whether that means getting rid of the 120 portion or doing other things, dealing with the environmental issues and finding less expensive ways of doing environmental things, such as noise walls rather than some of the berms and the depressed roadway. By cutting the costs and increasing the speed on the roadway, you will increase the volume of traffic, increase the revenue. If the members of the Blue Ribbon Committee, in particular the Lake County people, if the Lake County people want to make all the decisions, then the Lake County people should pay for it. If they want those of us in Northwest Cook County with tolls on the Cook County portion of Route 53 or additional tolls on the rest of the system, then those people ought to be part of the Blue Ribbon Committee, and then you'll have a different consensus as to what this road should look like. So my recommendation is, again, throw away the report, bring in these other stakeholders, and let all four groups of stakeholders decide what this roadway should be instead of just the two groups of stakeholders. The second of the 2 points pertains to cross-jurisdictional taxation, which I previously referred to as colonialism. There's a proposal for that hasn't been finalized yet. One of the proposals is to put tolls on the Cook County portion of Route 53, where you've got Lake County people saying, we want the people in Cook County to pay experience a massive new tax and have all the revenue from this new tax going to Lake County for the Lake County people to build their public works projects. And the reason this is so toxic and so dangerous is that if we establish in Illinois, and I'm just about finished, if we establish in Illinois a process of cross-jurisdictional taxation where elected officials or government officials in one area say, we want to tax people in another jurisdiction, it's just a matter of a brief period of time before Rahm Emanuel and the Chicago City Council says, well, we're tapped out and our people here, so we want the legislature to establish a new surtax on property taxes in Lake County and a new surtax on sales taxes in Lake County, and then you get the people in Springfield doing the same thing. Everybody's going to start hitting on Lake County people or wherever they think people are rich, and you're going to have people in one jurisdiction paying taxes, additional taxes, and all that money is going to go to another jurisdiction. We need to not allow that to happen, where we start the process of cross-jurisdictional taxation, because once we go down that road, it's going to be really bad for the people of Lake County in particular. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. I'd like to respond because I think, Chris, you raised points that I think the committee is already aware of and that we have yet to deal with but will. Specifically, as it relates to Cook County, we are conscious of the fact that the Cook County Board Chairman Tony Preckwinkle has created a new special task force directed towards an evaluation of Cook County roads, and it is our intent to meet with the Cook County Highway officers as well as Chairman Preckwinkle between now and the next meeting of our group. Likewise, we want to have the same conversation with McHenry County as well, because both are affected by what's going to happen in Lake County. The issues of cost reductions, the issue of speed, are also issues that I believe we will get to as we begin, again, to press people towards how do we build this road. And so I think in the coming weeks, we will cross every one of those bridges. I can't tell you what the results are going to be, but we will definitely cross those bridges in the coming weeks.
So maybe we can give the board an opportunity to ask some questions, because I know we have a couple other things on the agenda, but this, of course, is a very important topic that we wanted to get the feedback so that you could take it to the committee.
If I could, I'd just ask staff briefly. I know that a number of surveys were going to be implemented to try to derive some baseline data relative to the financial support, the usage, the demand. And we have a unique, I think, project here in the sense that we're talking about a 45-mile-an-hour speed limit. We're certainly talking about a number of elements of the project that are there to try to make sure that it's integrated with the environmental concerns and issues in Lake County. So it's a different breed of animal to some degree. On the other hand, we're trying to provide efficient transportation, basically. So I would just ask briefly, Rocco or Amy, if you want to characterize what you found out briefly in some of these surveys that you did.
Sure. We can provide a more in-depth discussion at a later point in time, but a lot of the travel demand forecasting that you saw was really based on the inputs that we got through the survey, which, as you know, is what we referred to as a willingness to pay survey. Again, being thoughtful that, you know, maybe people aren't as willing to pay to use a facility at 45 miles per hour. What we did find in the survey, as it relates specifically to how we use the data, is that we are talking about a market where the travelers are coming from households with higher than average household income. And as a result, they do have a higher value of time and are willing to pay to use this facility. And so that is, again, what you see reflected in the travel demand results. But yes, at a later point in time, as we process more of the other data that was collected in that survey, we can be sure to brief you on that.
So basically what you're saying, though, is that when you put it in front of them, those being surveyed realizing that it was going to be a tollway, that the speed limit was going to be limited, et cetera, that the demand curve, the cloud didn't fall out of the demand.
Right, and just to be clear, the way that the survey is set up is the speed limit is really expressed in terms of travel time. So how much more are they willing to pay to achieve, say, a five-minute savings on their trip?
But I think that there is some general information. What we'll do is we'll put together a presentation on the survey results for, I think our next committee meeting will be in July. Is that right on the schedule? So we'll do that maybe for the next meeting. Does that make sense? And we can get a little bit more in-depth feedback.
The survey doesn't reflect, and the question wasn't asked, as was pointed out by Mr. Sherman, which we talked about, I think, in previous meetings, was, you know, correlating a cost, you know, to the reduction in speed and the reduction in volume that brings, and then the reduction in revenue that we would incur. Has that been layered on in that survey or not?
As it relates to bridging this funding gap, No, that was not. This was purely...
But we did get some feedback, I think, that, again, as we finish analyzing the rest of the data, we'll brief you on. But I think we got some feedback that I think will illuminate and can illuminate what people's perception of the speed issue is, right?
Yes, that's right. So, you know, that wasn't part of our questions that we put out there, but we did sort of have an open-ended, any comments you'd like to offer, and we did see a notable number of questions or comments, as you even see in news articles, about the concern that we're tolling a low-speed facility such as this.
I don't think anybody is debating the need and the demand for the road in that area. I just keep going back to the amenities that are being added, the uniqueness to this project, and the costs that are being borne because of those things. Is the region aware or willing to pay that cost difference? Because when you build an expressway in the South Will, down into the South Will County area, we did it without those costs added on. And when we ask regionally that we believe that this is regionally important and regionally should bear the cost, well, what is the difference in that cost? I think it was one of the things we also asked in a previous meeting. In building it uniquely like this, compared to, let's say, the last major project that you can point to, the significant 355 South Extension, and, you know, make that difference known in the survey and see if then they are willing to do that. As a region, because that isn't fair to the rest of the region to ask them to bear the cost of, you know, something that's very unique to this area.
So maybe if I could respond to this. So this is what we'd like to hear, because this is what I think is important to bring back, as Doug was alluding to the committee members, and, you know, we've got the Lee County chairman back there too. What we said to the committee that, you know, we're going to adhere to the performance standards that have been set by this Blue Ribbon Advisory Council. It's incumbent upon the finance committee to really figure out how to pay for these things. We really haven't tackled these issues yet with the